Even a U.S. soldier who's the most ardent supporter of the war in Iraq must feel a certain fear in his or her stomach when they hear they're about to be transferred to Iraq. My next guest was not a supporter, but she still went to Iraq when she was called to go, believing that maybe she could do some good there. She stayed for 10 months, but came back disillusioned and is one of the founding members of Iraq Veterans Against the War. Kelly Daugherty is a former National Guard sergeant who until last year served in a military police unit in Iraq, and she was giving a talk in Trinity College last night, speaking out against the war. She's with me here this morning. Kelly, good morning and welcome.
Good morning.
Let's talk about your background, first of all. At what stage in your life did you get involved in the military?
I joined the National Guard when I was 18, out of high school, looking for a way to pay for college, like many young people in the United States. And I originally joined as a medic and spent most of my time serving as a medic.
And what were you studying in college at the time?
I was studying biology.
Biology. So yes. the two had a certain synergy.
Yes, definitely.
All right. So in the National Guard, you were acting as a medic. What happened then?
Well, early in January of 2003, I received a call telling me that I had been transferred from my medical unit to a military police company and I would be being deployed as a military police sergeant. And about a month later, I found myself in Kuwait.
Now, did you know when they transferred you from your medical unit to the military police unit that it was likely you'd go to Kuwait and or Iraq, or could you have served as a military policewoman in the United States?
Well, initially, the first day when I found out, I was not told where we were going, but I knew we were going somewhere, and likely it would be Kuwait, because at that time, the war drums were beating very loudly in the United States.
At this stage in your education, what had you achieved? Had you got your biology degree?
I was currently in my final semester of university, so I withdrew, and then just recently, last December, I was able to graduate.
Yeah, the way the system works in the United States, you can actually take time out if you want to, as long as you've got the credits for the courses so far. Isn't that the way
right,
it works?
Right, that's right.
Yeah, it's a little bit different here. You have to kind of go through full years, although they're moving to the United States system slowly. So, you arrive in Kuwait with some trepidation?
Yes, originally I had been against the war and was not supportive of the Bush administration and did not believe the reasons being told to the American people and the people of the world for the war. And so I had a moral challenge or, you know.
Should I stand up, be a conscientious objector and say, I'm not going, but you decided to go.
Right, but I decided to go and my reasons were because I felt obligated to the people who were going in my unit, and I think that's really what keeps the military together is not, you know, dreams or kind of a concept of spreading democracy. It's more of a obligation to the people around you.
To your friends, to your
right.
colleagues, to your,
right.
to your pals, the people who'd maybe lay down their life for you.
Yes.
You know, try to protect you. You feel you have some obligation to do the same for them.
Definitely.
So where were you deployed when you went from Kuwait into Iraq?
I spent almost the whole time I was in Iraq near the city of Nasiriyah, which is in southern Iraq. And as a military police officer, we escorted convoys from Kuwait north towards Baghdad and other parts of Iraq and also patrolled. So we were about 3 hours north of Nasiriyah and 3 hours south in our whole patrolling area.
How relatively safe was that place compared to, say, being in Baghdad or further north in the holy cities?
It was a safer area. It is still one of the safer areas, although there are still attacks there and insurgency uprisings and attacks against Americans and Iraqi people. It's still relatively safe for all the chaos that's happening in Iraq right now.
And your job was to escort these convoys, which would be what, fuel and food and...
They were mostly fuel tankers and by a company called KBR, which is a subsidiary of Halliburton. So one of our main jobs was to escort these Halliburton convoys.
Yeah, this is Kellogg Brown and Root, KBR,
right.
Fuel tankers.
Yes.
You had to police the Iraqi people as well, because in the chaos that followed the invasion, the army was stood down, people just evaporated, the police force kind of evaporated too. So you became effectively the Iraqi police force.
Right, and I think one of the reasons why there are so many problems is we're in Iraq as a foreign occupying presence, and many times we don't have translators. I know in my experience, for 9 of the first 10 months I was there, we had no translators.
You had no translators, so you're depending on someone local understanding English.
Basically, depending on pantomimes and maybe 5 or 6 words of English that the Iraqi people may have known. So obviously, as you can probably imagine, there was a lot of misunderstanding, a lot of violence and situations that probably could have been prevented
And I'm sure you found that you and your colleagues, as you're not being understood, just start to shout louder. It's a natural human instinct when you're not understood. You think by shouting louder, the message will get through, and it does not.
Right, and it's frustrating on both sides. It's frustrating for the American troops and the other occupying forces, because really all they're concerned about is trying to get home safely. And, you know, and this causes just animosity towards the Iraqis and also hatred of Americans on the Iraqis' part.
Yeah. What did you observe? You know, liberation was the first emotion by most Iraqis. They tore down Saddam's statue. We saw that those images right across the world. We saw people welcoming the occupying forces. How quickly did that change to frustration, to antagonism towards the occupying forces?
In the area that I served, we were initially welcomed, at least outwardly, by many of the Iraqis. But during the 10 months I was there, I could sense a change, and it wasn't an outright hostility. It was more just an atmosphere and less of a welcoming attitude towards us, because these people were not experiencing a better quality of life. They weren't being employed. They weren't being allowed to rebuild their country. They were just being further oppressed by the occupying force, being arrested, having their children run over by U.S. vehicles, things like this that further beat these people down and generated a feeling of hatred and distrust of the American forces. So
the manner of the occupation, even though you were against the war to begin with, if the manner of the occupation had been different, if it had been helping the Iraqis to rebuild themselves rather than American companies coming in and getting all the big contracts, that it might have been different. It could have been different.
Well, I think although the war was based on lies and based on false pretenses, the United States military did not go in there and automatically try to rebuild the country. They did not go in there and make a concrete, sincere effort to give Iraqi people jobs, to help them rebuild their country, to give them electricity and water and, you know, all these things that they need. And, you know, I think the Iraqi people tried to have a genuine hope, especially maybe in the more Shiite parts, that that would be something that happened, and it didn't happen.
What month did you leave Iraq?
I left in February of 2004.
So in the meantime, we've had the elections, of course. I mean, looking at it from afar, and I mean, I'm sure when you watch TV pictures, you see them with different eyes than I would see them, because you've been there. I mean, are you in any way encouraged by what's gone on? And, you know, George Bush claiming very publicly now that democracy is underway in the Middle East.
Well, I would like to say that, you know, George Bush originally, this was not about democracy. This was about the threat of the United States becoming a mushroom cloud, because he said Iraq definitely had these weapons of mass destruction that he was going to use against us. Now, when all these reasons have fallen short and proved to be lies, now it seems to be about democracy, and he's counting on the American people and the people of the world not to have even a short-term memory, not to be able to remember 2 years ago. And initially I was skeptical of the elections, because I had seen other, what I would refer to as banner days, you know, the mission accomplished, the handing over of sovereignty, these things that really didn't change anything, and conditions only got worse. And then when the elections actually happened, although they were claimed as a big victory,
I mean, many Shias and Kurds came out,
right,
and were delighted to vote.
And I think what, as especially in the American media, what was missing was, why were these people voting? I think one of the main things that was driving the Iraqis to the polls was the hope that by voting and by electing their own government, they could call for an end to the occupation. They could get basic services such as electricity, water, fuel, food. And as we've seen, the election has not brought about any stability in Iraq.
But if America left, if the and the allies, I mean, there are a number of countries still in there besides the United States, there is the fear of civil war.
Well, I believe that the occupation is the problem, and that the longer the United States and its allies continue to occupy Iraq, the more the violence, the chaos, the power vacuum will continue to grow and continue to worsen. And I believe the only way and the responsible way, now that the war is proven to be based on false pretenses, is to end the occupation and to give the Iraqi people the support and the resources they need to rebuild
instead
their own country.
Instead of spending billions on bombs and bullets and armaments and so on, give
right,
them
and
the kind of aid that will help them rebuild.
Exactly, and also not be giving billions of dollars to Halliburton, to Bechtel, to rebuild the Iraqi government. Because the Iraqi people, although maybe in the West we have an idea that they cannot function for themselves, that is absolutely wrong. They're a very capable population. They can rebuild their country, but they cannot do so when being occupied by over 150,000 foreign troops.
Many years ago, I shared a room with a graduate student from Iraq, from Baghdad, and he came from a class of people who were educated and capable of running the country. I don't know where he is today, but that's another story. How many people are supporting your movement, Iraq Veterans Against the War? I mean, there are many who resent what you're doing as undermining the forces who are currently out there.
Yes, on our website, we do get hate mail. We get negative comments, but we get many more supportive comments. We started in last June 2003 with 6 members, and now we have over 150 members, and we're growing daily and getting active duty members, people who are in Iraq right now, as well as veterans who've returned and want to join and want to speak out or at least be part of the anti-war movement. And we have a lot of support from other groups, from Military Families Speak Out, which is a group composed of military families. And we...
So you are people who are not against military service. This is the point, that you're
right,
people who volunteered. You're not conscripts. You're not like many of the people in Vietnam who are drafted into going. You are people who are happy to serve in the military.
Right, and we're challenging this notion that President Bush and other people in the administration are putting forth, that if you don't support the war, you don't support the troops, because that's absolutely false. The main key component to the anti-war movement in America are the veterans and the military families. And, you know, as I said, I went over to Iraq because I felt obligated to the people next to me, which is why most of the people there, and out of that obligation, as feeling wanting to keep those American brothers and sisters safe, that is why we are calling for them to be returned from the war zone and returned from this place that basically they're serving as a corporate bodyguards. And
that's what it amounts to.
Right, and that's what
big multinational companies.
I felt many times when I was there, that we were guarding Halliburton trucks that they just had us destroy later on, had us burn tanker trucks full of fuel in front of hundreds of Iraqis who didn't have fuel, because it was more cost effective for them to destroy an asset, because they're getting paid more. Basically, the more they spend, the more they earn. So
they would burn a truck
wasteful.
Full of fuel. A truck that cost maybe $100,000 for the truck alone, never mind the fuel it contained. And they'd order you to burn them.
That's right. And this would happen every day, several times a day for months. And, you know, it didn't make me feel proud as a liberator. It made me feel kind of ashamed to be doing this in front of hundreds of Iraqi people who were so
poor. Is it true you
burnt
an ambulance at one point?
That is true. And you know, it's kind of frustrating for the troops on the ground, because there is an asset that we see as an asset and that we want to recover, but we can't recover it by ourselves. We would need the assistance, and then that assistance never came. And it's more a result of the occupation, which is the larger problem. So anything that we can do as individuals, soldiers, it's only going to fall short, because the problem is much bigger than anything that we can fix alone.
Kelly Doherty, you probably pronounce it Doherty, do you?
Doherty.
Doherty, okay. Kelly Doherty of Iraq Veterans Against the War. Thank you very much for joining us.
Thank you.
Oasis. French Connection. Gadget. And Henry Dean. Bobby Brown. Origins. DKNY Jeans. Warehouse. Playboy. Ted Baker.